Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. Please be seated. Between church services, Reverend Jeannie or I, who's ever preaching, we do a Bible study on the readings. And this morning, when I was talking with, it was with Carl, he reminded me of what Father Paul, right? Father Paul used to say, which was to, that was a priest who was here quite a few years ago, get in the grace. Right? Is that a reminder for some of you? And we were talking about it, and I just wanted to say how that connects to that prayer of just, you know, get in the grace. Remember God's present. Breathe God in and let the rest go. So thank you. That was a good one. You know, in our gospel this morning, John the Baptizer is proclaiming the arrival of the long-awaited Messiah. And he wants the people to get ready. He wants people to leave behind any way of living that isn't focused on God. And he implores people to live so that their lives bear good fruits, that they live focused on God. Then John gives a pretty harsh warning. If they don't turn towards following God, if their lives have no good fruit or no good actions, their lives will be like a tree that doesn't produce fruit in an orchard. It's cut down and thrown into the fire. Then, after that passionate plea and strong warning, the crowds ask John, "Well, what should we do?" And he gives them an unexpected and simple answer. John says, "Well, go home and share what you have with others, with those that don't have. Be content with what you have, and don't cheat in any of your actions." You know, John is telling them something they already know. Live with actions of goodness, compassion, and justice. It's straightforward and simple, and yet sometimes so difficult to do. John tells the crowd that the way to prepare yourself for encountering the Messiah is to be ethical and use whatever you have for the greater good. He implores people to turn their lives around and to repent. Now, repentance is not beating ourselves up or being shamed. Repentance is owning what we do that is outside of God's way and turning back to follow God's instructions. They all knew that, and the concerned crowd then says, "Well, but what do we do?" My mother, who was a school teacher, how many school teachers or previous school teachers do we have in the room? This will sound familiar. She would always say, "When all else fails, follow the directions." And our directions today are the same as in the first century. If we are looking for concrete, specific instructions to make our faith relevant, then we do what John teaches. If we're looking for ways for the rubber to meet the road of our faith, then we start there. We follow the instructions of John the Baptizer and of Jesus. Act with compassion, love God, love ourselves so that we can love our neighbors and share. As both John the Baptizer and Jesus taught, share what we have. Don't be greedy or hoard things out of fear. Feed the hungry, give clothes to those without, be ethical at work and with all interactions with others, be honest, don't cheat or lie or falsely accuse anyone for a financial or any other kind of gain. We know this. The crowd asked John, how they could be ready for the Messiah and for God. So he provided these practical tips, and he challenged them and us to live an examined life, to consider how our actions and inactions affect others, and then to repent, to turn our lives back in line with God's directions. So we own our misdeeds and all our lost opportunities to be God's love to someone. We change our lives to follow God's request, Jesus's desire, that we love all those that we interact with. Now, this part might be unexpected. Repentance and joy go together. Being joyful is linked with turning our lives towards God. And when we attend to the needs of the world on whatever scale that we can, we experience joy. Because joy isn't the sentimental feeling of giving and getting the perfect gift while standing under the sparkling lights of our Christmas tree. That is nice, and many of us wish for that. But that's not joy. Rejoicing, experiencing true joy, happens when we make the choice to live as God designed. A life loving God, loving ourselves and our neighbors, and a life where we rely on God and where confidence is that God is with us. This doesn't need to be complicated or difficult. Share some kindness. Give in the simplest way. Give to strangers and let them be seen that they matter. Give someone the gift of being connected, if even for a moment. You know, I have a friend who writes really simple words like peace, happiness, and joy inside Christmas cards, and then she seals them, she doesn't sign them, and then she hands them out to strangers. You know, we all have strangers that are actually a part of our life. We've just never been properly introduced. You know, like the person who is shelving putting the stocks back on the shelves in Trader Joe's, or the person who delivers our mail, the cashier at the store, the random person who holds the door open for you. When my friend gives a card to someone like that, she is humbled by the amount of appreciation that's expressed and the openness of the person who's receiving the card. When she offers kindness in that simple act, the world seems less lonely for her and to the person that she shares with. For a moment, they are no longer alone and separate or strangers. For that moment, they're in community and they're sharing the love of God. A kind note of peace, joy, and love unexpectedly given can make the world of difference for someone. It does for my friend and for all those on the receiving end of this simple yet thoughtful, kind act. It's what she can do. So to make it super easy for all of you to share and receive this kind of joy, there's a basket full of already sealed Christmas cards that say peace, happiness, and joy, or peace, love, and joy on the inside. And we're going to give them out when you leave the doors. Because, you know, when we leave, we're asked to do the work that Christ has told us to do, which is to share his love. So again, all the work is done for you. All you need to do is take a few and hand them out to an unexpected person. We can all do something so simple and kind. So as you leave, pick up a couple. There are plenty. And enjoy that moment of connecting with the stranger who just is a friend you haven't been properly introduced to. There's only 9 more days. and we get to experience and share the wonder and the joy of God breaking into our world as an infant. Every day, we can share our lives and our love, and we can act with kindness and compassion. We can be as generous in a simple yet significant way. The ways of John the Baptist and of my friend. See people. See them and smile. Offer what you have. Share your extra coat, your food. You know, you're all creative people. Do what you can with what you have that God has given you. In this way, our lives can be just like Jesus' birth, simple and holy and significant. You know, who we are and what we do makes a difference. God needs us to do what matters in both big and small ways so that all can experience God's presence and love. Other people experience Jesus' love and acceptance and forgiveness through us. That's how it works. That's God's design. God's directions are that we are the hands and the feet of Christ. Well, I found this prayer that I want to close with from a blog that I follow called God Space. And I hope it moves you towards doing whatever you can with what you have this last week of Advent. So here's the prayer. Light of the world, draw near and birth in us something new. Fill the emptiness within us. Let your love overflow in us and through us and beyond us. Amen.